Hello and welcome to another edition of the Fans of Wrestling Show on FOW Radio. I'm Patrick and Mike Brummagen is with me. And, well, Mike, we just experienced a Monday Night Raw live in our hometown in Atlanta, Georgia. And let's start right there. How did you enjoy the show live?
I thought that this was actually one of the better shows of the year. I greatly enjoyed it. It was exciting from beginning to end, and it had some really, really good high points.
Oh, yeah. I think this is one of the first times that I didn't really yawn or get bored throughout the three-hour Raw. And surprisingly, and for the first time in I can't remember how long, I did not skip through the women's segment. But we'll get this in a moment. What I would say, though, to me, if I have any critique, I would say that I didn't like the placement of Cody Rhodes' comeback. Because I think that was a much bigger moment. It could have been a much bigger moment than it was. Where they placed it right after a very long U.S. title segment. And, you know, that ended up giving us, I guess, kind of like, you know, it's a very just, I don't know how to say it, but it's kind of like, it was just, everybody was so exhausted, I guess, from the John Cena match and whatnot, that they didn't have anything left.
It's crazy because Cena's actually his actual match really didn't take that long. But the build up to get to it took forever because they decided to do the triple threat to determine who would actually face him.
Yeah. And that was a long match.
It was fun though.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a great three-way, and you know, I liked how they protected Kevin Owens by having him remove them from the equation. But let's talk about the contract signing, the Brock Lesnar segment. Did you enjoy it better than last week's, where they were just goofing around with those gifts from Seth Rollins and the Authority?
Goofing around. By goofing around, you mean putting axes into the car?
No, I think like the last couple of weeks, the segments have been a little bit more like joking around, you know, with the Hawaiian gift and the car gift. I mean, I guess the car played, you know, a factor eventually, but I think there was a lot more goofiness than I expected in the main event, especially with Brock Lesnar being involved.
Except he wasn't until last week when he destroyed the car.
Very true.
And like he didn't have anything to do with the gift exchange when that actually happened. So, you know, I think that was like 4 weeks ago, or at least 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a problem with it. To me, the contract signing was, it's what every contract signing is. To me, it's a filler. It's just taking up space. Like they don't need to do these contract signings. You know, like people have title matches all the time and don't sign contracts publicly for it, you know, and you know, it went down the way they always go down. You wind up with like kind of a little skirmish, you know, and yeah, I think the important to me, the actual signing wasn't so important, but it led to a moment that was very important. The very important moment was Seth Rollins' frustration with Kane afterwards, and you see him like you know, verbally assaulting Kane, assaulting his big plan, and, you know, stomping on his hurt leg that Brock had previously smashed with the stairs. You know, and you know, I feel like that's gonna come into play within the story, like, really big. Like, that was a huge critical moment turning the tide as far as, you know, Seth Rollins and the authority is, you know, concerned. So that moment itself was really the crux of that whole segment. Everything else, you know, Brock flipping the table and all that stuff, that stuff was just the lead up to get you there. But to me, ultimately, I think the bigger story down the line is going to be, you know, what's going to happen between Seth and the authority. Is he going to still have their favor? Is he still going to be a part of the authority? You know, that kind of stuff. And I think that this moment is a big part of that.
Absolutely. But, you know, I guess, I don't know. I've always expected to see the Rollins-Lesnar match at SummerSlam. And we can get into this a little bit later. But I just feel like, do you feel like it was made too soon? Or does this more like sound like desperation to get people to watch the network, non-big specials, I guess?
I think it's a mix of the two. You know, I feel like, you know, in one sense, it is a bit rushed. But it's a shrewd business move. You know, I don't want to knock it and make it seem like it's a negative thing. Because as a fan, I enjoy being able to see Brock Lesnar in action. And I think that they understand that. And they know from a business perspective, even if they have to shell out more money to get more appearances or whatever they did in negotiating to be able to get him to be a part of Battleground and all of these extra Raws that we've seen him on, you know, it's shrewd business on their part because they know that he's going to bring viewers with him, you know, and you know, they might have gotten a lot more of these viewers back when it was a pay-per-view, which to me baffles my mind that people would spend, be willing to spend $50-$60 a month, but not 10. You know, I don't understand. It just doesn't make sense to me that people aren't buying into the network. It's cheaper. The quality of the video isn't that bad as long as you have good internet service.
Yeah.
And you get to watch so much other stuff on there. You know, you can watch old school stuff. You can watch a bajillion different pay-per-views, whether they're WWE pay-per-views, ECW pay-per-views, WCW pay-per-views. You know, they even got some old Raws. They got, I think if I remember right, they got some old Nitros on there now. You know, so you can go all in on the old school stuff. You can even, they even got some old, like, some old stuff from before WWE, you know, like before WWF even, you know, like they got stuff from like way back in there. You can go digging.
Right.
Like there's so much stuff that you could watch. And then, you know, they got the original programming that they're doing. I don't really care for most of it, but, you know, I enjoy watching Tough Talk because I like, you know, I'm interested in it Tough Enough. I don't think this year's Tough Enough is as good as some of the previous ones, but I'm still watching it, and Tough Talk is part of that, so I like that experience. You know, like, if you're not into that, you know, they got other stuff on. There's just tons of stuff to, you know, just get in there and look around. You can find, like, it just doesn't make sense if people aren't buying into the network. But from a business perspective, it just makes sense that, you know, hey, if we bring in the big name, Brock Lesnar, we get him on this smaller show, because they know everybody's going to, you know, tune in for SummerSlam, and everybody's going to be there for Survivor Series and Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. But that's not what's going to make their, you know, money. You know, they're not going to get their money off of just four shows. They need people to buy in for the Battlegrounds and the Night of Champions and the Fast Lanes. If people don't buy into those shows, then they're not going to come out even or make a profit.
Yeah, that's true. And what baffles me even more is that new subscribers can get this for free. And, you know, that's a steal in itself.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was different. I signed up for, and I paid for a whole 12 months in advance back in December. Because I knew I was going to get it, and I didn't have to worry about it. So, but it's pretty cool. I love it. But back to Raw. Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Rusev. Oh, goodness. I love what they're doing with Cesaro these days. Yes. You know, I was really afraid. I mean, you look at what they do with the Usos and what's it, Jay or Jimmy, I can't remember which one, is doing commentary and superstars and the, but you know, but with Cesaro, I mean, he's been trusted here with, I guess, the top tier of the middle guys. I mean, and, you know, as much as people want to dislike and hate John Cena, if you're in a program with John Cena, people are going to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're put in a program with John Cena, that means Vince is paying attention. Mm-hmm. What does this mean for Cesaro? Do you finally think he's going to get the push that he should have gotten a year ago?
I want to say yes. I really, really, really do want to say yes. But I don't have that level of faith right now, because too many times we've seen guys that we know and we like and that are really great performers get that shine that makes us think that they're going to, you know, like Ziggler at Survivor Series last year, owned it. He was the main event. And we're all like, oh, now's his time. You know, now, you know, we're going to see him get his push to get the championship belt. Never happened. You know, he got buried real quick. You know, like, it's happened far too, you know, Bray Wyatt. You know, he's gotten built up and then subsequently pushed right back down to the bottom of the barrel all over again, more than once. So it's like, I don't have faith in them to handle Cesaro properly long term because they've fallen short with so many of our other favorites.
And what are your thoughts about Cody Rhodes coming back after, you know, being on leave since his dad died?
As
Stardust.
I'm fine with that. You know, like, he's got a good thing going on with this character, and he seems to be having fun with it. You know, so I just feel like as long as he's comfortable with, you know, the amount of time that he took to grieve, and he's, you know, that's really the only thing that matters. You know, that's what's important, that he himself was able to grieve and emotionally get through what, you know, him and his family had to deal with Dusty dying. You know, the wrestling and everything, that'll take care of itself. And, you know, he's always been a great performer. So I have no issues and no squabbles over, you know, what he's going to do as far as performing, whether he comes out as Stardust or comes out as Cody Rhodes or, you know, comes out with the opera mask back on. I will enjoy it because he's a great performer. You know, so to me, as long as he's okay and he's happy, you know, I'm fine. I thought the performance was great. I love the little comic book looking promo that they did leading into the match with Neville.
Right.
It was really awesome, and I think they need to do more stuff like that, especially with those two guys. You know, especially with as popular to me, with you got to capitalize on pop culture. And right now, superhero movies are all the rave. Comic book based superhero movies are dominating the box office, have been for the past couple of years. You know, if you got some characters that kind of fit that kind of mold that you can use in that kind of way, capitalize on it. You know, like, keep giving us some of these cool animated promos showcasing Stardust as this, like, comic book villain and, you know, Neville as, like, a superhero. You know, like, give us a couple other guys that you could throw in there. You know, you could do something easily with Rusev as a villain. You could find some other guys that you could use in that kind of way. You could use Dean Ambrose as a hero. You know, you could, there's a couple different guys who are the right kind of character, the right kind of personality to fit that mold, keep doing it. It's really cool. Fans like it. It fits within pop culture. You know, it keeps the program relevant. I liked it. It was great.
Yeah. Now, we did have a couple of matches that were maybe lackluster, disappointing. Primetime Players, Mark Henry against The New Day. They didn't really excite me for the tag title match coming up. R-Truth.
You know, as soon as Mark Henry's music hit and, you know, it was evident he was going to be their partner, I was super excited. I love Mark Henry, and I thought that, you know, that partnership would be really great. It was the performance in the ring. The program was lack. That was what was lackluster. I feel like it had hype. The crowd popped.
Right.
You know, people, before the match actually started, people were, like, super amped about it. They're like, oh, this is going to be great. You got New Day with three dudes, and you got, you know, the tag team champs who only have two dudes. Who are they going to bring out? And then Mark Henry's music hit. It's like, oh, crap, it's Mark Henry. And people were, like, going crazy. And then the match started, and it was kind of ho-hum.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think the most excitable part of the match was when Titus was wrestling, because everybody loves seeing him just randomly toss people around like ragdolls. But other than that, there weren't a lot of, like, exciting moments in the match. You remember back in the day when Kofi used to do athletic feats, you know, almost all the time?
Yeah.
What happened to that? Why does that feel like a distant memory? I don't feel like he's done anything really, really athletic or really, you know, spectacular in a long time. It's just...
Maybe they don't want him to do anything that will get the people to cheer for him. I mean,
tough,
it's tough. Idiotic.
That's bad business. I don't care. You know, I don't care if they're, I mean, because their whole shtick borders on being good guys and bad guys. It's like people disliked him because people disliked him, but their shtick is that they're trying to be positive, and so it's like, they say and do things that are dislikable, but they're positive. They're basically a tag team version of Bo Dallas, right. You know, like, you know, so it's, you need them to do things that are going to be likable. I still like a lot of things they do. I mean, even on the microphone, they say a lot of things that are very quippy, very witty, very funny. You know, it's just, they say it could be really funny, but it's also something that's very derogatory towards, like, your city or your team, you know, but it's very witty, very smart, and very funny. You know, like the stuff that they're saying about the Hawks and things like that, you know, it's like, all right, as a fan, I want to be upset, but what you said and how you got to what you said was really funny. So it's like, they're going to be partially likable anyway. So don't take away things from the in-ring action that's going to make people enjoy the action. You know, just because, oh, maybe the like, you know, if that's the reasoning. We don't know. We're not in the heads of the creative. But if that's the reasoning, it's retarded.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well,
that's not political. I'm sorry. That's not politically correct.
Yeah.
The R word. That if I should say that, if that's the reasoning, then that's just stupid.
Now, we did get to see the Tough Enough cast live, and
that was disappointing. That
no one cared, and
people loved Lita. They were like, "Oh, Lita," and yeah, just start chanting one more match. But
and I'll say Patrick and
Zizi did nothing.
Got
they did nothing
reaction.
With the people. Yeah, they, it was like, you know, they all just walked out and stood there, and then, you know, nothing. You know, I was thinking maybe they'd have him talk or do something. No, they just stood on the ramp the whole time.
Oh, goodness. I'm glad they didn't make him talk. Did you see last night's episode?
Yes.
Goodness me. That was crucial.
Well, if I was going to do anything with that time, I would give the microphone to ZZ. Like, just tell a story. Boom.
Yeah.
Everybody be laughing, it'd be great.
And it could have been, but it wasn't. And it was just a forgettable moment. But let's talk about unforgettable moments. And let's talk about Paige and her friends.
Well, we got to start with the Bellas.
Right.
That's where it starts. The Bellas came down to the ring.
Team Bella.
Some complaint. Team Bella, because Alicia Fox has attached herself to them.
Well, at least they're consistent with no talent.
Yeah.
Now, I usually would have gone to the bathroom or something during this time, but I had seen tweets and Instagram photos showing that Sasha and Charlotte were there.
Well, somebody hadn't watched Raw yet. Just spoiler alert. Nothing.
If they haven't watched it by now, too bad. All right.
You just don't care. So now, well, I hear what you're saying, yeah, but I didn't pay any mind to the tweets and stuff. Like, to me, the Bella's music hit. I was all right, because, you know, like, everything went dark, because right before that was that non-existent program between, you know, Dean Ambrose and Bray, or what should have been Dean Ambrose and Bray. And since that match wasn't even a match and it didn't really happen, you know, they unceremoniously cut all the lights off. They went to a commercial break. So I used that opportunity to go up to get a drink.
Right.
And I was still at the vendor when the Bellas music hit. And my initial thought was, it's the Bellas. I don't got to worry about nothing. I'm okay. I'm just chilling, getting my soda. Then Stephanie's music hit. And then I was like, oh, something's happening. I just knew it. I was like, something's happening. Okay, well, I got to pay for the soda real quick. And I got back just in time to see Stephanie talking to the Bellas and being like, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And then she's like, you know, Paige, come on down. And Paige came out. She's like, oh, I called Paige out here because, you know, she's the only person that's been standing up to y'all. But you can't do it alone. Courage can only get you so far. That's why I found some people to back you up.
And out came Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch.
And Charlotte.
Yep. And the crowd went nuts. Absolutely nuts. It was the biggest pop of the night. Biggest pop of the night was for some women.
Yeah.
When's the last time that you could honestly say that about WWE programming? When's the last time you've seen the loudest pop be for women?
It's definitely been a while.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And they got the "This is awesome" chant.
What do you think about Sasha being teamed up with Naomi and Tamina?
Part of me doesn't like it because it has nothing to do with, like, as far as styles and stuff, I think it's cool. And, to me, you get all three, like, you got your three teams, and two of those teams are actually relevant, you know, like, actually quite capable in the ring. You know, you got the Paige, Charlotte, and Becky team, and they are all great technical wrestlers. And then you got your Tamina, Naomi, and Sasha team, and they're a good mix. All three of them are good in different ways, very different ways. They have actually a nice broad range of styles in that team, but they're all three really good. So, you know, I don't mind it, but the thing I don't like about it is the racial implications. Like, yet again, they find a way to, like, pair up the non-whites in one group.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I like about that is that it keeps Sasha as a heel, you know, because you need a fresh heel face. So I enjoy that.
Kind of contradict a fresh heel face.
Like, you know what I mean. So and hey, the triple submission. That was
I liked it.
Picture perfect.
I liked it. All of those women have back pocket, really good submission moves, not like garbage throwaway submission moves. They all have very reputable, very entertaining and enjoyable and believable submission moves.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like watching, you know, the Bellas do a submission move.
So things are looking well for the women's wrestling division in the main roster. But while we're talking about the Divas, I can't even say, I can't believe I'm saying these words, but Eva Marie is going to be making her in-ring debut next week on NXT. And I don't know. I don't know who they're going to put her with, and I feel bad for whoever is in the ring with her. And I don't think a better time could have come up for Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky to move up, because hopefully these girls won't have anything to do with her. Your thoughts on Eva Marie, the wrestler?
Well, I know she was getting trained by Brian Kendrick, the Brian Kendrick. So I would like to think that she learned something, but last time she was on TV, it wasn't good. I feel like NXT is where she needs to be. Don't bring her up to the main roster. And nobody wants to see her on Raw until we see what she can actually do. If she actually has improved and she actually can wrestle, that's one thing. But, you know, we haven't seen her on TV yet. So let her prove herself down there with the other rooks, you know. Let her get beat up by Dana.
Yeah.
You know, she can get beat up, slapped around by Emma, and, you know, she'll put in some time, and then we'll give her some matches down there and let us actually see what she can do and go from there. But for right now, like, that's where she needs to be. She needs to be, you know, not on TV.
Yeah. I will tell you that her mic skills need some work, and the fans and NXT do not like her at all.
But man, this chick's on the main roster who still need work for mic skills. Cameron, for real? Like, I'm sorry, we can only have so many women who use the whole gimmicky, I'm a snotty-nosed, you know, brat of a, you know, words that I can't say since I don't curse.
Yeah.
You know, like, both of the Bellas are portraying that character right now. Alicia Fox, though she acts also crazy, is also a bit of that. And you got Cameron acting like that. You know, like, to me, that's the most overused trope. You know, the most overused type of gimmick or character among the women. It's like, it's grown stale. It's old. It's way overdone. People need to be fresh. They need to come up with different ideas and concepts. I like Naomi because it's like she's a bad guy, but is she really? You know, because her whole stick is that she feels like she's being overlooked, both by the company and by her opponents. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, anytime she has started to get a push, she's got put back down. You know, kind of like, you know, guys on the main roster, like Dolph Ziggler and other people like that, that fans routinely root for. You know, like, she keeps going through that same cycle. You know, she'll get a push and she'll get some matches. She's never allowed to win. She's yet to win the Divas title. You know, but, you know, they'll let her sniff it and then put her back down. You know, it's like, when is she going to get her chance? And she's proven she's capable in the ring. You know, and so, like, to me, her character works. You know, she acts like an angry, upset, fed up woman because she is. You know, that makes sense. There's some truth to it. There's some believability to it. But for all these other chicks, there's so many chicks that are just randomly acting like they're just stuck up, you know, valley girls. You know, that's trite.
Yeah. Well, it was a good Raw, great live, and great to see that. I thought we would have seen Ric Flair but
he was backstage.
Yeah.
They said he was very emotional overseeing Charlotte actually on the main roster.
Absolutely. I mean, it must have been a great moment. So especially in Atlanta.
Especially since she's so much better than David. Yeah. Me and my coworker were talking about that. We're just like laughing because we're like, man, you remember David Flair? He really sucked. David Flair was terrible.
Yeah.
But Charlotte's great.
Yeah, she has definitely gotten Rick's athletic genes, but they were all. Well, no Dolph Ziggler. Do you think we're going to see him out for a while?
Well, he is filming a movie, so yeah, probably for at least a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Although, word is he did sign a new contract.
Is it official?
I hadn't seen anything on WWE's network, on their website from the WWE officializing it, but the report made it sound like it's official, so.
All right. Well, I don't know. Until I hear something, I guess, either from WWE or Dolph, you know, I'm waiting to see, because I think they said there were reports a couple of weeks ago that he had signed, but then he went on Twitter saying that no contract had been signed. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. But we have a pay-per-view special to look forward to this Sunday, Battleground. And what a great way to start Battleground, but one of the greatest pre-show matches ever. May I say, the most anticipated rematch in Battleground history. When R-Truth will wrestle King Barrett for the 269th time for the King of the Ring crown.
You know, the funny thing about that match is that R-Truth has been doing this whole shtick with, you know, like his like little towel cape and his Burger King crown. And part of me wonders, like, if R-Truth wins, does he get the legit crown and stuff from Barrett, and then Barrett is reduced to a Burger King crown? Like, is it like a Trading Places type scenario? Because I kind of want to see Barrett have to wear a Burger King crown, if only for one day. Like, I think it'd be funny.
While it would be funny, I would hate to see that, because that would only prolong this feud. And I'm really tired of seeing those two together. I'm ready for him to move on.
I agree with that. I just kind of want to see him have to wear a Burger King hat.
Yeah. Well, I hope that this is the end of this feud, and I don't know who Barrett made very unhappy to deserve this, because I think he's so much better than what he's doing right now. And it's just sad to see him, you know, in this type of feud. But nevertheless, I mean, there's hope for the future, right? So let's go through some of these matches, and you tell me, well, first of all, Mike, who do you think is going to be the King of the Ring after this pre-show match?
It should be Barrett, somebody that they should invest in for the future. He's a good performer. He does a good job in the ring. He's good on the mic. You know, he's not amazing on the mic, you know, but he's a better worker than R-Truth. And R-Truth is older and on his downturn, you know. So it's like, to me, it didn't make much sense to give R-Truth a run here, especially since the King of the Ring tournament already happened, and Barrett won that. So, you know, there's not really much meaning to this because it's not the real King of the Ring. But I'm afraid that because that's the case, that they're going to have Truth win it just as a throwaway. But I don't feel like that's how it should be booked.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then in the singles match, we're going to have Randy Orton versus the Money in the Bank winner, Sheamus.
My money is with Sheamus.
I mean, you would think so. I mean, you want to put him, you know, on a roll, winning matches, making him look strong for when he does eventually cash in the Money in the Bank. Do you think he would try and cash it in at Battleground?
No. No, I think with this whole authority storyline going on, unless you're going to try and work it where he's back on the same page with Triple H, because, you know, they used to be buddy-buddy, whatever, and he's their plan C, unless you're going to work that angle and bring Sheamus in as the replacement for Seth Rollins with the authority and keep this whole authority storyline going on, to me, you got to give the authority storyline space to breathe. And the only way to fit him into that without being disruptive is making him be the new replacement, the new plan.
Right.
Which would make sense. I mean, because then you'd be taking one bad guy, Seth Rollins, who people dislike, and you replace him with someone else that people don't like, which still keeps Brock Lesnar as a babyface, which they want. But I kind of want to see, if you do that here and now, then what you're doing is you're kind of taking away room for this whole storyline with all this, like, kind of built up tension between Rollins and J&J and Kane. You know, like, you need to give that room to breathe and allow that to resolve itself. Let that story come to an end. Give it an end.
Yeah.
If you just throw Sheamus up in the mix, and you're kind of crushing any end to a story there.
Absolutely. All right, then we get the tag team titles online. New Day get the rematch against the Primetime Players. Do you see the New Day taking back their titles?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, yeah, it would only make sense. I think from here, I'd like to see the New Day and the Lucha Dragons. I think that would be a little bit more entertaining, in my opinion. So, who knows? But, yeah, I agree. I think New Day, it's time for them to win it. I think them doing what they were doing when they had the titles was so much fun that I think they lost a little bit of that since they lost the titles. Roman Reigns against Bray Wyatt.
Bray needs this win.
I agree, which is why I didn't like this matchup at all, because I just felt like they're going to use Bray Wyatt to get, you know, Reigns to look strong against a big heel. But how many times can you do that to Bray Wyatt?
I feel like he should win this match, and I don't think that they'll stop him from winning it. I don't know that this – I think this feud will probably last for a little bit, maybe another month. But given their track record with Bray Wyatt feuds, I don't think this is going to be a long-term deal. You know, and that's something that he needs. He needs a program he can work with somebody else that could be long-term. You know, even if they take a month or so off from each other, you know, that they can come back to. It'd be like a rivalry. He needs, you know, a yin to his yang, and he doesn't have that right now. You know, I feel like there's potential here with Roman, because Bray, who is a bad guy, is beloved by the fans. I mean, every arena they go to, people turn their phone lights on, and people, you know, hum along with the music. People anxiously sit at the edge of their seats listening to every word when he cuts a promo. People love this guy. This guy is a legit superstar.
Yeah.
Superstar in every sense of the word. He's got the charisma. He's got in-ring ability. He's everything that the WWE wants and needs from their young guys. Roman, on the other hand, is lacking. He's got the potential. He's got the athleticism. He's got some cool moves. But the charisma and the personality is still developing. It's not there yet. He's still got to figure out who he's going to be as a person and character on the program, you know? And he's got to own it. It's not there yet. It's just not coming through. So I feel like, and as good as, you know, Roman is with promo work, I think this would be a good tandem, you know, put him with Roman, put Bray with Roman for a while, you know, because perhaps there's some things that Roman could learn from Bray. You know, they've been saying for a long time, you know, like, you know, the whispers have always been that Bray works studiously on his promos himself. You know, like, they give him a gist of what they kind of want him to do, and he does the work himself. You know, he came up with the concept for the character himself. You know, like, he's very creative. You know, so perhaps working a long-term program would be of great benefit for Roman, because he could learn some really good things, you know, from Bray.
Right.
You know, and I feel like, you know, clearly we know that, you know, because Bray is so over, that, you know, the hope would be that after working in this program, however long it's going to be, that it will help Roman to get more over, particularly with the more hardcore fans. Kids love him. Kids love Roman.
Yeah.
I think in large part to, you know, hit some of his moves, the spear, which kids seem to love, and the Superman punch. But, you know, other than that, it's probably mainly due to his affiliation with the Shield. Still uses the Shield music, still has a Shield entrance, you know. But the older fan crowd, you know, like, as much as, you know, people will always say, oh, the children are the driving market, really it's the hardcore fans. You have to appeal to hardcore fans. It's the kids who buy the John Cena stuff and buy the Roman Reigns stuff and the Daniel Bryan stuff. Those kids are children of the hardcore fans. If you don't keep those hardcore fans happy, those kids won't be in the arenas.
Right.
You know, if those hardcore fans aren't happy and they decide to turn their TV to something else, those kids won't be seeing wrestling. You know, so you got to work both crowds. You can't just try to just make kids happy and not make the older generation happy. You know, you got to work both crowds. And I feel like, you know, they need to get Roman to a place where he's making both happy. He's not there yet. He needs the personality to be there. But, you know, working a program with Bray could really help, I think, bring that out of him.
Yeah.
You know, the program with Brock Lesnar fell flat, but honestly, you know, A, it was a really short program, and B, like, you need him in a program with another wrestler. That, you know, like, the person carrying the brunt weight of Brock Lesnar's promotional work is Paul Heyman. And as amazing as he is, you know, people aren't going to look at, you know, Roman versus Paul. They're looking at Roman versus Brock Lesnar. And from a physicality standpoint, you know, that could lead to a really great match. But one of those two men has to be able to represent himself on a microphone and carry a promo. And neither one of them can. And you can't have a non-wrestler carrying a match for two men who are supposed to wrestle.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's, like, the whole build-up with Bray and Andre. I think that's, you think about it, Bray has already proven himself because he built up the whole match with Undertaker himself. He did all that work himself over a month of work. By himself to build up to a match with a guy who couldn't be on TV to promote. So he's proven he's capable.
Right.
And yeah. So now it's the task is up to him to try to help make Roman Reigns more capable. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think if there's a bigger picture, I like to see it. But Bray can only take so many losses before the fans stop paying attention. And next we get John Cena defending the U.S. title versus Kevin Owens. We're for sure going to get another great match between these two guys. Does Kevin Owens walk out U.S. champion?
I want to say yes. But there's a small voice in the back of my head that says no. I can't help but think that perhaps, maybe, perhaps, that one of the two men we saw in that triple threat match, whether it be Rusev or whether it be Cesaro, winds up screwing over Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens has screwed over both of them in their opportunities to win the belt on Raw.
Well, I mean, it's kind of tricky the way this match is going because let's say that, you know, Owens does win the U.S. title, then he's got a match SummerSlam weekend against the NXT champion, Finn Balor, and then he would go on to yet possibly defend the U.S. title at SummerSlam. It's kind of like, you know, it looks to me like a tricky situation. So how do you handle this? But I'm sure they have a plan because, you know, you want to make SummerSlam be like huge. So yeah, I mean, I definitely think the time is, no pun intended, but the time is now for Kevin Owens to win this title and beat John Cena. But, you know, at the same time, is the U.S. title challenge with John Cena has been so good every Monday night. It's been the most consistent thing at Raw. And so it's kind of like if he loses the title, you lose that. And what do you do from there? You know, and what do you do with Cena from there? I mean, does he go back to the main event? Because without the U.S. title, I mean, you're not going to put him in a mid-card match against nobodies. Mm-hmm. So he has to be in meaningful matchups and feuds. So, yeah. That's definitely a toss-up. Then we get the main event, Seth Rollins defending against Brock Lesnar.
I really want Seth Rollins to win somehow, some way. I don't know how he could win because it just doesn't seem possible. But I really like Seth Rollins. This dude is a grade A performer.
Yeah. I think Seth Rollins getting away with winning this match or keeping the title, it's possible. And let's go ahead and bring a rumor that just came out today about one Undertaker. It's been rumored that he's going to appear at Battleground. And could it be possible that he causes Brock Lesnar to lose the match, yet making a rematch at SummerSlam between Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker? I mean, keep in mind, you know, Paul Heyman, you know, called Kane The Undertaker's little brother. Brock Lesnar took out Kane at the end of Raw. You know, and
no, if, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. I hadn't even thought about that.
And if you're thinking about making SummerSlam huge, I mean, a co-main event of Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker, you don't get bigger than that.
I can't even remember the last time I saw Undertaker on SummerSlam.
So,
been a few years.
It's been a while. So, I mean, he's been wrestling once a year for the last few. So, I mean, if the rumors are true, I mean, it's a Triple H trainer posted a picture of The Undertaker training at his gym, saying that he looked good. I mean, and he did look like he was in good shape. Is he training for a comeback? And, you know, it's questionable, you know, but, man, that from what I hear is that the person that broke this rumor basically has been pretty dead on other spoilers in the past. So, you know, but that I think that would be the only feasible way I could see Seth Rollins keeping the title. But yeah, it definitely would make sense. The only thing that wouldn't make sense is having The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, while they're both baby faces, go against each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't really make sense.
So.
That doesn't make sense at all. But, does it have to? I mean, we've had baby faces fight each other before.
Maybe The Undertaker becomes the new enforcer of the authority.
He's not going to do enough shows for that to be worthwhile.
True. But, I mean, you know, he could be like a special ops of the authority. He comes only like really huge, special moments. I don't know. It's a different idea, but it's an interesting one. So, one person we know we will not see at Battleground is Ryback. Apparently, he was injured in Raw, and the match is now off. No Intercontinental title match. Which means we won't get to see The Miz, we won't get to see Big Show and Ryback in what is probably one of the most anticipated Intercontinental matches of all times.
That's were it not for Miz's involvement, I would say that I was actually glad for that, because Ryback and Big Show doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah.
Both of, I've always been a fan of Big Show, but I feel like he's getting to that stage where he's not the Big Show of old, you know? Like, he used to be a lot more agile. He used to be a lot more, you know... he's always been slower, but he used to be a lot faster than he is now. You know, he seemed a lot more athletic in the past, and now he just feels lethargic. And, you know, he's just strictly relying on his size just to be menacing and intimidating. And, like, I don't find that entertaining. When you're lumbering, that's the word to use, lumbering around in the ring, you know, I feel like you're outgrowing your stay. I'm not saying he has to retire now, but he shouldn't be working programs like this, you know?
Yeah.
Because Ryback is not the kind of guy that can pull the best out of somebody else, you know? You put him in a program with somebody who may be smaller, but then you get the kind of dynamic that would be like David Goliath. But, you know, put him with somebody like a Ziggler or... You know, Daniel Bryan, when he was healthy, you know, you put him against guys who are, you know, everything that he's not, but are also capable of bringing the best out of other people. You know, that's who you need him in a match with at this stage of his career, at his present age. You know, putting him in there with Ryback, who also kind of lumbers around, You know, he only shows athleticism in spurts because he's just so burly, you know. It doesn't really do anything for me. It doesn't make me feel excited about the match at all.
Right.
So, but I love Miz. Miz is a great character. He's a great personality. Oozes charisma. You know, I've always liked him. And so having him involved was the one thing that made me interested in this match at all. And now that the match can't happen, I'm like, well, now I don't get to see Miz. Which, that to me sucks, but, you know, maybe they'll find something else for him. We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that he will find a way to make his presence known and maybe even request that the IC title go to him. But
who knows? How long might you be out of action with a broken thumb? A couple weeks? A week, sure. A month?
Not sure. So it's I wish it could be a while. Somewhere between forever and ever, I would be okay with that. So, Mike, let's bring it back home here in Atlanta. And Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment is having, it's doing a lot of shows in August and September. They're doing like
three each month? Three, yeah, shows a month?
I think that's the plan. But right the now,
first, third, and fourth Thursdays.
Sundays.
Yeah, the Thursday show. Are they Sundays?
Yes, Sundays, the 2nd, the 16th, and the 30th. And then the next show will be on the 13th.
Which is a Thursday.
Of September. It's, yeah, a Sunday.
That's a Sunday? I thought, yes, it was a Thursday.
No, it's going to be, damn, all on Sundays.
Why was that? I had Thursday burned in my brain. Why?
Maybe because they've been doing Thursdays for a while. But, Mike, it's a great deal. Those four shows available right now. The long hot summer pass. Right. It's only going to be 160 of those passes. The sale will end on August 1st. $25. What kind of things are we going to get? Well, to start the season,
it's all about,
we're going to find out about why did Priscilla Kelly betray Chip Day. On the August 30th show, Jimmy Ray,
that's the one I'm waiting for.
He will be defending his GWC title against Ring of Honor star Cedric Alexander.
Cedric Alexander. Oh my goodness. Yo, did you see over the weekend he did a finishing move on a chick?
Yes.
It was like super nasty. Did you see that video?
Yeah, I saw it on YouTube.
Yo, I want to see that finishing move in person so bad. That move was so great. Yo, if he does that move to Jimmy Rave, that's going to be off the chain.
Yeah. Now, but in between the premiere show and the title show, on the 16th, we're going to see some new faces debuting. We're going to see some familiar faces coming back. It's just going to be a great time.
We got JT Dunn.
Yeah.
When's he coming in?
JT Dunn is... we'll be wrestling the winner of Jimmy Rave against Cedric Alexander.
That'll be the 13th, right?
I think so. You see the 13th or the one after that. But the big thing about the match of the 13th that I'm looking forward to is Sabu against Murder One. I mean, this is a match that people have been waiting for 15 years.
Well, people that know them, but... So, you know, for the casual fan, all they need to know is that, you know, they just need to know, A1, who is Sabu. If you don't know who Sabu is, go on YouTube, go on the network, look him up. He's in there. Really, really awesome dude. Did some amazing hardcore matches. Great stuff. And then they need to know Murder One. And I don't know if Josh and them have put up videos from To Be the Man yet, but they need absolutely have to put up the promo that he cut at that show. That promo was so visceral. It was great. It was one of the best promos I've seen in the past decade of watching wrestling. And that was the big setup for this match. Because if you remember right, after he did a really, really nasty, kind of almost like racial type speech about Dusty Rhodes. Not that he was insinuating that Dusty himself was racist, but that the system was racist. And Dusty was a product of the system, you know. And then he turns around and Sabu's in the corner taking promotional photos with fans and signing autographs. And he calls him out. And he's like, "You're lucky you're retired. Because if you weren't, I would kick your butt in this ring right now." That's the setup. Yeah. That's how we got to this match. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, Mike, I mean, think about this. You get to see all these actions, these four shows for $25. I mean,
but that's cheap.
This is a wrestling fan's dream.
That's like two value meals at McDonald's, man. That's cheap.
So, it's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be great. From what I hear,
is downtown on Spring Street,
right?
It's the Legacy.
Yeah, Legacy, the Quad building. We were there for Oh My Quad, and you know, it was such a cool environment. Just you know, the fans got to be real close to the ring and to the action, and it's a really great atmosphere. Of course, there'll be a bar for people who you know, enjoy a drink, during the show. Not only that, but AWE also is putting a special where you can actually, if you go to the Eventbrite link on their Facebook page, five people can get a booth ringside and a $50 tab at the bar. And all this for just $100. I mean,
do they do margaritas?
I mean, I'm not sure what they do, but they do. They have a full bar, you know, at the location. So,
can we get a margarita tab going at the podcast booth?
Who knows? No, we can find out. But man, Mike, people need to come see this. You know,
people should have came. I'm so baffled. Like, we could not get people to come to the last show. To Be the Man was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stress how it was highly enjoyable. And the fact that we had so many friends that we personally reached out to,
yeah,
and who didn't make it was disappointing. Like, you know, because they missed out on such a great show. And we really need to try to amp up our efforts with our friends this time around, because we both have friends who very much love wrestling.
Right.
And would enjoy the AWE product. Absolutely. It's just a matter of trying, just getting them in seats is the hardest part. But $25 for four shows, you can't beat that.
Not at all. I mean, you think about it. $25 couldn't even get you a nosebleed seat to Monday Night Raw. But here you can be close to the ring in a great atmosphere, four shows, and the talent that AWE is bringing, it's just going to be an exciting show. And, man, I'm glad that we'll be there, you know, and we'll be recording live and talking about, you know, the matches. So it's definitely looking forward to it. The season premiere again, August 2nd at Legacy in Atlanta. And from what I hear, they're using a different building at the Legacy in Atlanta for the September 13th show. And they call it the Dungeon. And from what I hear, this place is sick. And
not like, you know, I got emphysema sick.
No, right? It's like awesome.
Well, I mean, you might call it the dungeon if the dungeon family's there.
Yeah.
But that's hip hop and not wrestling.
But yeah, but man, it's gonna be great. And you know, I want to hear from Priscilla Kelly. I want to know why she betrayed Chip. You know, and I want to see how Chip is gonna react to this, because the man got betrayed first by Murder One, well, first by Jimmy, then Murder One, now Priscilla Kelly. I mean, he's all alone now. And, you know.
Or is he? Blah, blah, blah.
And,
we don't know.
You know, we don't know, but we will find out on August 2nd, live in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Legacy Quad. And with that, Mike, another show in the bags. We'll talk again after Battleground, see what happens, and make sure that you guys follow us on Twitter. We're at FOW Radio. Mike's on Twitter at M Brummagen. I'm on Twitter at Yellow Maniac with a K. Make sure that you also check out our website at FOWRadio.com. We have a lot of good content there. We're putting out some articles.
You can find our feed. We have the RSS feed of our podcast there, so you can conveniently just go there, listen to our podcast.
Yeah, and we have Mike's review of Raw up on the site as well.
But wasn't a review of Raw. It was more so a review of the Divas division, or at least that segment.
Well, that was, I think, just the best part of Raw that anybody will remember after all. So, and with hopefully, that, make sure you
if they fail to keep this going, keep this quote revolution going, then this moment will be negligible.
Well, don't say it, otherwise it'll happen. But make sure you subscribe on TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and Podbean. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.